So much, Ganga, and welcome to everyone, new people and old friends. Just be comfortable, and when you're ready, just let your eyes close, sliding on Ganga's, on the ripples of Ganga's beautiful chant. Just Let it take you into the shrine, into our gathering. Give yourself permission to imbue the space that you inhabit this moment with the feeling that was carried in Ganga's voice. Really embrace that feeling. It's always here, but often obscured. The quality of gentleness, kindness. Tenderness. That's the fabric of our shared space. And then it becomes easier to relax, to let down the guard, and to feel what is here right this moment. Just to be with what is here together, each one and together. Even though we can't feel each other's experiences, we share the act of presence. We share the presence. We share the silence. With a kindness. It's as if we were holding hands and creating this openness, and then each one of our experiences are invited to surface. Without any agenda. And our experience is made out of thoughts. And for the thoughts, you just let them be. You don't pay them any particular attention. They get all our attention most of the day. Just let them come and go. Our attention is also, sorry, our experience is also made of feelings and sensations. And those you also allow to come and go. But taking the time as they surface, allowing them to blossom. Without translating them into thoughts, that would be the art of feeling, the art of listening to the body, in fact, to the body world. Sensations of temperature or pulsations, weight, breath, tingling, or the sense perceptions of smell or touch or taste. Let things come to life. And it shouldn't be effortful. So it's more like a relaxed listening to the flow of life. That is your body and the world. And to know that it's sacred or divine, it's not mechanical. Surrender the weight so that whatever it was holding can sing its song. So feel where the body meets the earth and really offer the weight of the body into the earth. The weight of your legs and of your hips. Don't do it for any reason. You just sort of listen to the words, place your attention loosely there, and open your arms, your tactile, invisible arms, to receive whatever unfolds. Feel your arms, your hands. Notice how the mind immediately wants to direct its attention, wants to look for something, wants to create a narrative. Stay with the raw feeling of life, life as my arms. Life as my legs, life as temperature, life as the sound of Ellen's voice caressing me, everything caressing me. your face. Don't see your face, just feel your face with all its various sensations, some pleasant, some maybe unpleasant. But unpleasant is just a label. Pleasant is a label too. It's a little bit superficial, isn't it? Let's not be superficial when we're in the shrine. Let's be willing to feel without knowledge, without knowing. Face, eyes, forehead, temples, nose, nostrils, ears, mouth, lips, teeth, gums, chin. Blow the words away, just the raw sensation. They don't have to do anything, they're just saying hello. And the space, which is you, is saying hello. Hello, hello. Hello, body. Hello, breath. Listening to the breath. Not doing the breath, listening to the breath. It's different. Not doing the body, listening to the body. Just like you listen to the sound of this voice, you don't have to manufacture the voice, it appears. It's very tactile. It has a vibration. It's free. It comes. It goes. You don't come, you don't go. And the body, it's free. It's alive. Where does it come from? Don't ask your mind. Allow yourself to marvel at the not knowing where it comes from, the body and the sound of Ellen's voice. Breathing, not knowing. Not knowing opens you. Knowing narrows you. Feel your breath and don't know anything about your breath. Discovering it moment by moment, the flow of air through the nostrils. And then you know, my words will invite something, but let your own attention slide, invited by life. So your attention marries the flow of life. So you feel the flow of the air through the nostrils. And then you slide down into the belly and listen there. To the swelling of the in-breath You're not doing the breath, you're surfing the breath. And maybe your attention flows to some other part of the body. And you sit there for a while, allowing wherever you are to whisper something. Maybe you're in your throat, or you're in your forehead, or maybe in your shoulders. Maybe you're being spoken to a bit louder than a whisper. Allowing the energies of the body to feel that they are surrounded with openness and welcoming. And when I say body, I also mean feeling, emotion. I also mean density, tension, contraction. You know, I mean anything that appears. And we're not looking to resolve or fix or change anything. We're just exercising the freedom to feel. The freedom to become acquainted with the intelligence of the felt experience. Without translation. Now feel your whole body, the totality of your body. Your body, each one of our bodies, each one of us feeling our body, eyes closed. Your body. And don't translate. I know, you know, my mind does that too. It's like, okay, well, what about my body? And what? No, just inside my body. Where is it nice? Where does it feel contracted? Where does it hurt? Where is it closed off and maybe fearful? To begin with, when we turn attention to our personal body, we feel possibly the trace of suffering, the trace of separation. So let yourself feel that in this moment, or let that feeling tell its story in this moment. Your shoulders, behind your eyes. Just sit there and listen, your throat, your jaw, paying your respects to this body of separation. That somehow fulfills a role. This body obeys the the belief that I am a separate self. And its function is to protect this separate self. So it has all sorts of ways that it does that. But then see if you can touch the knowledge of openness with your tactile sense. Touch the knowledge of unity, of connectedness. So you place this body of suffering, this body of separation, into the openness, as if you were placing your body in a bath of warm, infinitely gentle water. You don't impose anything, just delivering your body into this water. And your breath helps. And you let the waters seep into the pores of your skin. The waters penetrate inside the body and wash or begin to wash inside the body, inside the head. No thinking, just tactile. Don't let the mind divide. This makes no sense to the mind. Feel the waters pouring over the top of your head, down, slow waters. They can flow slowly, magic waters. They can flow slowly and permeate the places that need permeating. And see that the body begins to move with the waters. Your eyes are closed. Let the waters take the body into a very gentle, slow flow. Try not to manufacture it, just allow it. So it's very slow, as if the body was becoming water-like. Your spine, your breath, your hands, the touch. The weight, the arms floating away from your lap, perhaps. It's all a seamless, liquid yes, and then very slowly coming back to stillness. You're the stillness. Let this body, liquid body, come back into you. So again, not doing it. Allow everything to dissolve in you slowly. Slowly, the arms, the hands, because it's the case for me too, that there are some layers that are difficult that will surface in these very slow meditations. Layers that we ordinarily don't want to face. So we override them, we go into thinking or moving. So really when the difficult layers surface, just don't do anything except bring your heart, your loving heart, to bear upon the surfacing. Shine your love on the difficulty. Yes, and then again the body moving without any intention, just see what happens. In particular, the spine and maybe the shoulders, the arms, the head. And it's both your personal body moving and also really a seamless flow of sensations moving. Don't feel you can't be the person that you are. You can allow a shape to be sculpted with your body, your unique body, with whatever feeling is here for you. And at the same time, don't hesitate to lose the personal quality. To let the person dissolve into a flow of tactility. You just explore. You may not even understand what I'm saying. Don't worry. Just exploring. Make sure the breath is free, the torso, the head, the arms. If the body wants to stand, it stands. Trust your hands, how they touch the space and comb the energies. Your arms, do they want to open wide? And then slowly again, just feel the body coming back to wherever it goes when it dissolves. You are the space in which it dissolves. Borderless space. Vibrating space, the body just disappears in you slowly. You disappear in you. The wave dissolves in the ocean. You take turns. Sometimes you're just the ocean, other times you're the wave in the ocean. Or both at the same time. Slowly do some neck rolls, very, very slowly, your head and neck, tracing a circle. Now feel that you don't do it, it's just a ripple of sensation. Make it, but of course don't make it, make it seamless. So you do, you intend that seamless quality, and then you purify the movement of the mover. You feel that it's just effortless. Yes, even here when the chin comes down, don't do it. Be the open space. And now the other way, and welcome the visitors from the shadow places that come to out of the hiding place. Yes, now let the head come back. Don't make it come back, just let it come back. Slow. Come back into disappearing. The body loves to disappear. Make sure that you let the head find the best alignment to disappear. How does the chin like to hang? The back of the head, the back of the neck. Yes. And you can allow your head to reappear, just maybe shake your head a little bit, very gently. Let your head move in creative ways. And your jaw, blah, blah, blah. A little shaking, and then again, let it disappear. Perfect stillness. Letting whatever is held in the head, in the skull, move out into the open space. You don't have borders to your skull in this moment. Your eyes are closed, there's no visual. Just feel your skull is porous so that your brain and your eyeballs and all those areas of the body that are so active in the service of thinking, they can float out into the open space and be kissed by the space and massaged the eyeballs. Feel that the warm space, and maybe it's water or liquid, just permeates the eyeballs. They relax. In the brain, visualize a big sponge floating out into the liquid embrace. It fills up with liquid kindness, yumminess, and it just sinks down. Big sponge of brain. None of this makes any sense. Now feel your spine and round your spine. Just let your skeleton collapse into a rounded shape. And breathe and sigh and feel the weight of the whole torso and your pelvis. Sort of surrender to gravity, let gravity, whatever that means, take the weight of the body, drag it down. That's what gravity likes to do, down, 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 down. Breath is free. Feel down. Make sure your shoulders can drop down. Your elbows and your wrists, your fingertips dropping down, your sacrum, your hips, your knees, your ankles, your feet, your legs dropping down, everything hanging down into the earth. Don't live in the body, just let this body hang down, and you're just the open space. Yes, and maybe move your torso a little bit. As it stays rounded, just move, but then let movement take the body and massage the body and trusting movement. It's got its own intelligence. Doesn't have to be this way or that. And then and slowly with the movement, which may be very unusual. You have no idea. The spine is going to begin to make its way back up to a more vertical position slowly, very indirectly. No thinking, no seeing, just feeling. Top of the head, the shoulders, the whole front of the torso alive and sensual, caressing the space in front. The back of the body, touching the space behind, but you know, there isn't a sense of a border. So feel your whole torso is cloud-like. It's like a cloud. It's finding its alignment in the sky. Yes, and then the stillness. Feel there's a yes saying to the body, and that the body is saying yes. And the space is saying yes, and I'm saying yes, and you're saying yes. And in this yes saying, the universal yes can act upon you, upon your body. Yes. And there may be no no's, many no's, little moments of no's, little places of no that are getting bathed in the yes. Feel your heart opening, whatever that means. Really, you are your heart, so feel yourself opening. It may be a place in the body that's opening, the belly, the heart area, the palms, your lips. And then at some point you can unify the opening, one opening. Now feel your torso and just slowly turn your torso towards the left, very slowly, like a ghost. Your arms may be lifting off your torso. And place your hands on your left knee or on your left thigh, one on top of the other. Make sure you're not pushing the posture, just let the posture expand in all directions without, well, purify the posture of the mover and then let it sing out a yes. And I know that there's unpleasantness or boredom, agitation. This is the gift of these yoga sessions, is that you will catch these layers in your net. And if you're brave and or courageous, and the courage comes from your heart. It's not that you don't have to put it on. It comes out of your devotion. If you're courageous and you catch the boredom, the resistance, the unpleasantness in your net, you don't do anything. You don't narrow your attention towards what's in your net. You gently replace your net in the openness. Let the fish of separation taste the ocean. The kindness. And now the torso floats towards the right. Don't do it. A ripple completely free of jerkiness, smooth, effortless, divine. The hands resting on your right leg, dropping the arms, feel the warmth of your palm penetrating. I have to use words, but I wish I could speak the language of the body directly. Now feel the totality of your body, the whole posture. And the space beyond merging. Vibrating the breath, no inside, no outside. Yes, maybe thoughts of inside and outside, but the thoughts are just thoughts. Yes, the torso comes back. If at any moment you need to readjust your postures or stretch your legs, which I've just done, really feel free. It's not a, we're not in a Zen temple. Feel the porousness of the body. Feel the that maybe now the edges of the body are less clear. That they've relaxed, that sensation has relaxed and made way for a sensation of openness, borderlessness. And feel the coming and the going of the breath. Make it lovely for you. Sometimes bringing attention to the breath can be a boring practice, a sort of mechanical practice, but maybe you can feel the, I don't know, the sensual organic nourishing. In breath. Without pushing or pulling, just following, really following what happens with your belly as it expands, your nostrils widening, relaxing, the breath, the prana. Really feeling that it's so mysterious. What is it? Where did it come from? It permeates with the in-breath every corner of your tactile experience. And then of course the out-breath, just following it with your tactile sense, surfing the out-breath without pushing. Each breath fresh, like a wave, nobody breathing, let the breath caress the fear that sometimes lies at the root of the breath. Of the separate self-breath. Let this breath now, this breath that is free, let it caress the fear or the contraction. In breath, like a wave that ripples up from the pubic bone to the top of the head, but just an image. You don't have to manufacture that. And the out breath from the top of the head down through the pelvis. And if you know Ujjayi breath, you can apply Ujjayi breath, a light filter, the back of the throat, so the breath is audible. Long inhale, pause. Long exhale. Pause. At the same time, touching the borderlessness all around. Feeling the sacredness, the intimacy and the sacredness of the breath. Really allow yourself to feel. Sacredness of everything, every experience, held in one seamless sacredness. Just don't do anything. Ganga's gonna bless us with another chant. Feel the sound of her voice mingling with your breath.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ganga. Well, take thank you, sweetheart. So nice to hear you again. We'll just have a few minutes break, maybe. Well, let's have 5 minutes break and come back for 20 minutes or so. Go gently.
Hello, Claire.
Well, let's see how we have 20 minutes for chit chat. Feel free to share, ask, claim, recite, shout, whatever. Hi, Leslie. Hi. I can't say everybody's name, but hi, everybody, again. Don't be shy and don't feel you have to say anything at all. Thank you again, Ganga, for the so nice to hear your voice again. And if you do want to say, you can just wave or unmute yourselves manually.
Ellen, hi.
Oh,
I have a new iPad, so I don't know how to press on the hand, so I had to unmute myself. So I'm sorry for that.
worry. Hi, I'm
Hi, I have a question. During these practices, the essence of the practice is especially non-doing. Don't do anything, and don't have an agenda. What I in Dutch we say worstelen with. I have to think about the English word. What I struggle with is, isn't it a natural thing in as a human being to do something
Yes.
and to have an agenda? Because all of us wants to be happy, wants to be healthy, wants to not to feel pain. So
Yes.
what is the reason in this non-dual practice, that non-doing is so essential, and don't to have an agenda,
Well,
because
that's a very good question, Aisha.
what happens in me is that I am, my mind is trying, don't have an agenda, because if you don't have an agenda, something will happen, something good will happen. So how can you control or
You can't.
practice?
You're absolutely right. It's completely natural as a human being, as a wave in the ocean, to do and to have agendas and to, but because this practice is we're wanting to reveal the habits of being a separate self, not of being a person. There's nothing, well, obviously there's nothing wrong with being Aisha and Ellen and Ganga and Claire, but and there's nothing wrong with anything, but it's unfortunate that Aisha, on top of being Aisha, there would also be superimposed upon the natural Aisha, there would be a belief that Aisha is separate, a fragment. So when during the yoga meditations we say, the torso turns, nobody doing it, it's so that you sort of have to, you have to try to not do it. Of course, it's impossible because you are doing it, but you're sort of investigating or becoming aware of the superfluous, the added efforting, which we the added I'm gonna do it. The not so much Aisha, the natural person, but
Version, but
I, the
itself.
ego, the one who wants to do it right, the one who wants to do it perfect. I'm gonna
Okay.
So that is going to be revealed in our explorations because I'm suggesting a movement free of a doer or free of an agenda. But you're absolutely right that first of all, you will have agendas during the yoga, and some of them are actually organic, natural, and not non-problematic. And when we do the free movement, for example, there might be a very natural impulse to express something. And it is Aisha or Claire or Ellen or Ganga, but it's a Claire, Aisha or Ganga or Ellen that isn't separate from the totality. So in a way, you have to learn to discern the doer that is asserting and defending, mm-hmm. or the doer that is
natural,
right. Yeah. And the same with the agenda that is spontaneous, and the fulfillment of which your happiness doesn't depend upon the fulfillment of the agenda. You know, like, let's say you have an agenda to be, as you say, mm-hmm. towards pleasure, towards happiness, towards relaxation, but if the situation presents itself differently, your agenda is happily dropped.
Yeah.
So you get to see the difference when it's not happily. I really want this. I want to be happy now. So that's the purpose of inviting.
What you said is that by undoing, you are you, the separate self, stepping aside so that the natural flow of life can flow, whatever it is.
Yes.
It? Okay.
And you know, the natural flow of life actually does include the ego.
Exactly.
It does include the agenda. And so, but it's just that I don't know how to say this. We're not trying in a way to get rid of the ego even, but we're just doing something together that is sacred, because we are gathered out of our love of truth. And what else are we gonna do? We could sit quietly, but we're also sort of, well, let's explore, you know, how this whole creation works, and mm-hmm. what is the difference between unobstructed spontaneity and a spontaneity that is a little bit more obstructed by mm-hmm. separation. But we're not trying to condemn separate, you know, things will continue to happen as they happen, but we're sort of exploring how it all works.
Okay,
and we do discover something. We do discover something.
One more question in addition to what you said now. So if I am able to non-do, what remains then? What do I gain then? Or is there something that I can gain, or is the I now again?
There's nothing to be gained, because there's nobody that needs to gain anything. So nothing remains to be gained, but everything is gained.
Everything is
here. Everything is so in that moment of touching the absence of a separate doer, there's nothing to gain or to lose, because you're one, you know, you're, as you say, in the flow.
Okay.
But there is something to gain in these explorations. I'm going to contradict myself. Something is gained. It's not so much that something is gained. That something is revealed. Something that was obscured is revealed on a tactile level, on a sort of feeling level, which is, so it's more that something is lost. You lose the extra layer of whatever it takes to maintain myself as a separate self. That is lost, or at least it relaxes. It's lost, or at least it's lost for a glimpse. Then it, you know, it's a dance. And at that moment when it's lost, there's a sort of reverberation of openness or peace or joy, or even on the tactile level, sometimes a feeling of, I don't know a word for it, but it's not, it's tactile and it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not so much we gain something, but we lose something that we.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Aisha. Let me go back to gallery mode so I can.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Pavita.
Do you have space for one more question?
Sorry?
You have space for one more question?
Of course, yes, yes.
I wanted to check something to make sure that I heard correctly, because there was a moment, if I heard you correctly, that you said something about opening the heart and that you are the heart, like you are the heart opening. You said something along those lines, if I heard you correctly. And I kind of stuck with that because, like, I can feel and perceive, like, when my heart feels really open and expansive and when it feels closed, but then who's the I who is feeling and perceiving? Like, because if I am my heart, wouldn't I just be being that, as opposed to, am I making sense?
Yeah, no, you're making sense. It's me that was probably not making sense when I said what I said. You see, when I'm guiding the meditations, I use poetic language, and sometimes it might be dualistic language. So I think I remember saying something like, was it, I'm opening the heart and then you are the heart?
It was something along those lines.
Yeah, and the reason I said it is because I felt that at that moment. And sometimes I just follow my feeling of, so to begin with, the heart seems to be located and there's a sort of feeling of expansion in the chest area, or it could be somewhere else. But, and then there was a glimpse or a sort of moment where it wasn't so located and it was just this openness. And since we call it the heart, I thought, okay, well, I am the heart. In other words, don't overthink it. It's really these many of the things I say shouldn't be they're not correct. They're not absolutely spot on non-dual formulations. They are poetic evocations. So don't worry if there was the openness and also some sense of perceiving the openness. It's natural. It's
more like the vibe that's coming through you and surfing the vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And the vibe that's coming from you, you know, in response. And yeah, and being on the lookout for that place of fear or contraction or resistance, and the rest takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot manufacture the beingness or oneness as a state. It's what we are, and it's here and now, and it's so. But what we sometimes in these moments of yoga meditation, because there's a pointer or something, it's in a way my responsibility. I might trigger an attempt at manufacturing that open heart, I am the heart, and then you get, it's all tangled up. Mm-hmm. So not to do that, or not to, whenever that happens, just.
Mm-hmm. I've had experiences here with you where I would slip or slide deeper into being, and movements were simply happening and layers were unfolding and it was quite beautiful, and other moments where I haven't quite clicked into the slipping into, and yeah. So it's,
yeah, I mean, that's natural, and you know, and when it doesn't click, that's interesting too, and
yeah, and just being open with however it is that the experience is unfolding,
and also, you know, I'm guiding, but it doesn't always resonate, and the way that the guidance comes doesn't always resonate. That's also fine, and it's not always meant to click, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice to see you, Pavitra.
Nice to see you.
Leslie, you don't happen to have that poem you posted on Facebook at hand, do you?
I do.
Ooh! Because Corinne isn't here, so I thought maybe you could share it with us.
Hold on one sec. I'll grab my phone so I can.
That would be lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know if I can do it justice.
Yes, you can. And I want to just quickly, while Leslie go, who's new? So I know there's a couple of new people. Not Marcus. Rebecca, okay, welcome. And Vera, did you come before? You're new too. Okay, nice to see you. We always have.
Here it is.
Oh, good.
Yeah, where's Corinne?
Well, Corinne's not here, so you're the replacement.
Okay, I'll try my best. All right, this is by a wonderful poet, Rosemary Watola Traumer. And she has a day poem. And she also, I got really into her poetry. Actually, I think Corinne turned me on to her, but she is.
You're cutting out a bit, Leslie, but keep going.
Her son took his life last year. I'll go in. That might help.
Okay.
I'm outside, so my wife.
Yeah, we can tell.
It's stretching. Tell me if it's better.
I think it's better. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway. So I really enjoyed her poetry. She's really honest. It's called Because. So I can't save the world, can't save even myself, can't wrap my arms around every frightened child, can't foster peace among nations, can't bring love to all who feel unlovable. So I practice opening my heart, right here in this room, and being gentle with my insufficiency. I practice walking down the street, heart first. And if it is insufficient to share love, I will practice loving anyway. I want to converse about truth and about trust. I want to invite compassion into every interaction. One willing heart can't stop a war. One willing heart can't feed all the hungry. And sometimes, daunted by attacks too big, I tell myself that what's the use of trying? But today, the invitation is clear: to be ridiculously courageous in love, to open the heart like a lilac in May, knowing freezing is possible and opening anyway, to take love seriously, to give love wildly, to race up to the world as if I were a puppy, adoring and unjaded, stumbling on my own exuberance. To feel the shock of indifference, of anger, of cruelty, of fear, and stay open. To love as if it matters, as if the whole world depends on it.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome.
You did it justice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Could you repeat the name of the poem and the poet?
Yes. Her name is Rosemary, and she spells it Rosemerry. And Watola, spelled Watola, and Traumer, Trommer. Looks like somebody just posted it.
but Leslie, will you send it to me? Or maybe I'll find it on Facebook, because I'll include it with the recording of this session, so you'll have
it. Yeah, I can send it to you.
That would be lovely.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you.
Feel free to unmute yourselves if you want to say goodbye, and see you next week, some of you.
Thank you, Ganga.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ganga.
Thank you,
Leslie.
Thank you,
Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye, Hilton.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye, Renko.
Thank you.
Bye, Annie. Bye, Sandra.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ben. Bye, Kyra.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Sophia. And Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And Fleming. I think it's, was it your first time, Fleming?
I think it's my second time.
Okay.
So nice to join you and your guiding very, and the music and everything.
Yeah. Bye, Umbra and Val. Okay, I'm off. Bye-bye.